8 and get in your jammies at 10. Let's just get on with the show tonight. We've got a lot going on. If you have friends in the theater community, I bet that you probably had to talk them through some very stressful and anxious time this past weekend with all of the auditions that were going in town. 5 different shows were filling out their casts and did fill out their casts. Audition Mayhem, we called it, and the casts are just fantastic. And so many people were interested in getting involved in the 2 musicals that I think it maybe is a lesson to the theater groups that musicals is what people want to do. And musicals is also what people want to see. Last year, we only had 3 musicals in the Champaign-Urbana theater community. The last 5 years at the station, Young Frankenstein at Parkland and The Wizard of Oz at by CUTC. So I know that over, I think 70 people auditioned for Chicago, and they ended up with a fabulous cast, of course, because everybody wanted to be in it. I mean, it's just incredible. So get ready for April, man. Jake Fava and Hannah Yonan and Kimmy Schofield as Billy, Roxy, and Velma, and then the rest of the cast right through the ensemble is just loaded. And then meanwhile, Falsettos at the station has Michael Steen, Jackie Lowenstein, and Ryan Pest as Marvin, Trina, and Whizzer. Come on. So I'm so excited for those musicals, and look for me to be featuring them, or us to be featuring them here on CEO at the Show coming up over the coming weeks and months. There's a lot going on in town right now, this weekend. In fact, tonight, you can head over to Champaign Central for the Cabaret. Champaign Central has such a talented group. If you got over to see Adam's Family, you know some of the musical talent that they have there. And tonight at 7 o'clock, there's going to be 26 musical numbers, songs from Bonnie and Clyde, Anastasia, Hadestown, Hamilton, Mean Girls, Next to Normal, and Falsettos, if you want a little sneak peek of what's coming up in our community. So that's tonight, one night only. Friday and Saturday night, you can go to St. Thomas More. They have an amazing madrigal feast. My niece, Noelle Schacht, will be the queen. Way to go, Noelle. And tonight through Sunday is weekend 2 of 3 for It's a Wonderful Life, live at the station. Check out my review, and it's just an amazing radio show. And then we're going to be talking tonight about Christmas Carol Live at Parkland, which opens tomorrow night. And I had a chance with my co-host, Linda Evans, to sit down and talk about Christmas Carol with the director and actor Parker Evans. Here we go. This is Eric Schacht with CEO at the Show. We are on location at Parkland College in the second stage. I'm with Linda Evans. How are you doing, Linda?
Great. How are you?
I'm awesome. We are here to talk with the director and one of the actors from Christmas Carol, which is going to open up this Friday here at Parkland. Mike O'Brien is the director. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing quite well. Thank you for having us on.
No, thank you for joining us. And Parker Evans, how are you doing?
Doing very well. Doing very well.
So we are in the scene, Parker, where I think I've seen you last in this stage as the ringmaster in Elephant Graveyard, right?
Yes, yes.
That was really fantastic work, I just want to say, as we kind of like look back on the 2019 season, which I've been doing, and looking back through all the shows. I think that was like one of the really fantastic things that I've seen, probably the best show. And I know I just got some press in for Smile Politely as one of the great artistic works of the decade. Oh, wow. And you were a huge part of that, so it's just, I just want to say on the air, congratulations for that among your many other acting highlights for the year.
Oh, thank you very much.
So now, Mike, you're putting on a Christmas Carol, and it isn't just the story, it's the radio show.
That is correct.
And so explain what we're what you've created here. This looks pretty much like a regular, like almost like a set.
It almost is. It's kind of tough to describe in my just vocally.
Right.
But what we've done, we've adapted the Christmas Carol for radio. So our actors are on set the entire time. Vocally, they are giving you the best Christmas Carol, spooky ghost story Christmas Carol they can do. Visually, we've got a little bit of a family party going on.
Right, so, it does have a very party feel.
Yeah.
It has round tables for people to sit at as if you'd be in a group.
Correct,
you know,
yeah.
Like your family group or your friend group.
And yeah, that's kind of the atmosphere we want. We want you to come in, sit around, talk with your friends, talk with your family, and then we're going to tell stories. And we're going to tell a ghost story, and we're going to have some fun, and hopefully everybody has a grand time with it.
So it is, I didn't even notice that when we sat down and set up here, how the room is set up with tables, I guess, that could have anywhere from 4 to 8 people at them. Is there food or beverage that we should anticipate being served?
There will be like a small hot chocolate bar kind of thing, coffee, some cookies, that kind of thing. Some mild, you know, simple refreshments will be part of it. There'll be a couple of stations here in the room. But yeah, it's meant to be relaxed. It's meant to be family. It's supposed to be fun and a great show.
So when you said that you adapted it, did that mean that we're seeing something unique here that hasn't been done?
In terms of the script, yes. I took Dickens' original text and I literally scraped it down to just the dialogue that he had, and then added bits and pieces. And then I found Orson Welles' original 1938 Christmas Carol version. So I took that and I literally put these two side by side. And then I took the best parts of both. And then I took the Muppet Christmas Carol, and then I looked at that. And then I looked at the George C. Scott version, and I looked at that. And this, what you're gonna see, is basically an amalgam of about 4 or 5 different variations that I found over the years. When we started the Actor Studio series, I thought, and the Actor Studio series, has, we envisioned it being a very short rehearsal process, like a 2, maybe 3 week intensive rehearsal process. So I thought, you know what, let's do the Christmas Carol as a radio show, so that way maybe I can get a great performance without having people stumbling over memorizing lines and horrific blocking and things like that nature. We get up and we just do the best vocal interpretation we can and then have a good time doing that.
So you mentioned that this was part of the Actor Studio series. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what the Actor Studio series is?
Okay. The Actor Studio series is a new set of shows that Parkland is doing that is aimed directly at Parkland students. As you know, Parkland Theater, the main stage shows, they are open to the community, and they're great and wonderful things, but our acting students were wanting more challenges, more opportunities. So we came up with this second set, the Actor Studio Series, and those are dedicated to Parkland students only. And so far, it's been a great success. So Christmas Carol is nothing but Christmas, Parkland students.
Are they only Parkland Theater students or any student going to Parkland, no matter what?
Parkland students. Okay. They don't have to be theater only.
Okay.
But it is dedicated to the student population here.
Okay.
And that was the case with Dear Brutus, which happened earlier this semester. All students, not all theater students, but all students in the campus. We had probably 25 to 30 people close audition for the Actor Studio series, because there's 10 in this cast. I know there was about 15.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Oh, seven. No, there was, I think, a bit less in Dear Brutus.
Yeah.
So did you do all the auditions at one time for the whole series?
For the semester.
Okay.
So we did the
Dear Brutus and Christmas Carol together.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, and then in January we'll hold auditions for the third of the Actor Studio series.
And so how, Parker, you've been in radio plays before and other plays. Was this audition process different? Is it different to prepare for it when it's just a radio style? Because it's a little bit different type of acting.
Right? Yeah, it was a little bit of a different audition process. It was not as expression focused. So normally you would pay a lot of attention to what your face is doing during the audition. That wasn't as important as what your voice was sounding like and how emotive that could be and how much it could sound like what you were trying to produce. And so it's much more, it was, for me at least, it was much more focused on that audio element than the visual element of the audition.
And so you said that there's 10 actors and they're playing how many parts?
There are 10 in this show?
There's 10 actors in this show. 11 if you count our Foley table lady. And she actually jumps in a couple spots vocally. How many parts do you guys play? You're easily playing 3 to 5 a piece.
How many characters do you have, Parker?
I play Bob Cratchit. We all kind of play different narrator parts and elements, so everyone has kind of a piece of that. I also play Dick Wilkins, so that's 3 plus...
You're in at least 2 commercials.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, plus 2 from the commercials, so I think about 5. There might be one I'm missing.
And do you have a different voice for each one of those?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you find it hard to keep track?
It depends on the role.
Yeah.
And I say that not just because of you, but because of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And was that where you probably had to give your most direction to people, was to figure out the voices with them?
Yes, partially. I direct this play standing in the back with my eyes closed 90% mm-hmm. of the time. Mm-hmm. And it's yeah. it's teaching me some things. But yeah, some of these actors can snap on a new character in a heartbeat. A couple of them, I mean, everybody can do it, but some of them are much quicker at it.
Right.
But everybody has managed to come up with a new personality for mm-hmm. every character, a new voice. Some new mannerisms. It's fun to watch. It's fun to listen to.
Well, this is the third of the kind of radio shows going on this holiday mm-hmm. season, and Linda and I have seen the other two, and Parker, you've been in one.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I thought that there was a big difference between It's a Wonderful Life and Goblins and the Gravediggers. Now, it could be for other reasons, but It's a Wonderful Life, there was so much more kind of like acting going on into creating the characters. And then I thought Goblins was pretty just straight radio.
Yeah.
And so have you seen It's a Wonderful Life?
I have not seen it. I've heard a lot about it, and I've seen like the production pictures.
Mm-hmm.
But I have not actually gotten to see it.
And so I don't know if that was kind of like a directorial decision by Ed Pierce to make it more acting like, but didn't it feel, it felt vastly different to me.
Yes, yeah, and partly it's because they have a space, like a dedicated space. With the Goblins and the Gravedigger, they had we had to move from 2 different spaces because we wanted to take the show on the road, basically. And we recorded it, Parker was part of that, back in February for an actual radio show that we could sell to radio stations. And then we decided around March or April to do a live show. And our ensemble doesn't have a theater space, so that's why we used like a church and a museum in Rantoul. So it's different when you don't actually you can't just set your stuff up and keep it up, so we couldn't have any set or anything.
But also that's a show that was born as a radio show, without any sort of expectation of an audience or presentation to an audience. So Mike, do you have costumes?
No. So we are, like I said, we intend it to look one way and hearing it a different way. So I haven't seen any costumes, but I've instructed everybody to just wear what they would wear their holiday gear for their holiday parties. You know, just fun, festive, colorful. Actually, the gentleman playing Scrooge, he actually special ordered an ugly sweater that says Bah Humbug across the tummy.
That's cute.
But it's that kind of atmosphere. Visually, it's just going to be fun, and the actors are going to be part of the pre-show, and they're going to help seat people, and they're going to act as ushers. And mm-hmm. Like I said, family atmosphere. So costume-wise and set decoration, as you can see, simple family fun. But then we approach the story very much as a radio drama. There'll be a little bit of acting, as you'll see. So there's kind of a half and half.
Who's playing Scrooge?
Young man named Sean Kelly. He is a Parkland performance major, and I think this is the biggest role he's done, but he vocally is unparalleled when it comes to this role.
Hmm.
Nice. I mean, we had all these people try out, and Sean stood out from the minute he stepped up to the audition. So.
Can you list everybody who's in the show?
I can. Just want a list of names?
Yeah, sure. And okay. what their main role, I guess, is.
Madeline Childress. She is playing Martha Cratchit. That's her main role, mm-hmm. a bunch of others. She's also turned into our musician. She plays a ukulele.
Yeah, she's great with ukulele.
And she has turned, she's now our pit orchestra as well. Yeah, Haley Denzer. She's playing Mrs. Cratchit next to Parker here. Maya Hammond, she's playing Belle, Scrooge's lost love. And she has one of the toughest situations because she is a young woman. She plays a young woman. She plays a 9-year-old. She plays an 80-year-old. And she's all over the place in terms of vocally. Uh-huh. She and Maggie O'Brien. Maggie's playing...
Related.
My daughter, yes. Yeah, she is. But she and Maya, I think, have the widest range. Maggie's playing Ghost of Christmas Past. She's playing an old lady, the older woman who comes in to ask Scrooge for money for the charities, and a couple of others. There's Caitlin Ritchie. She's new to this whole thing. She's playing Tiny Tim. She's got a lovely voice. Marcus Aviles. He's playing Fezziwig and Young Scrooge. Mr. Colin Downin, he's playing our Ghost of Christmas Present. He too has a weird range. He's got a deep voice. Mm-hmm. So he's got this big, deep voice for Ghost of Christmas Present, but he has to play a 9-year-old Peter Cratchit and a couple others. Parker, playing Bob Cratchit, Dick Wilkins. Thomas Fitch, he's playing Marley. He has a big part, and he's going to scare the pants off of you. Then there's Sean Smith, who we've mentioned, and Gabrielle Smith, who's our Foley artist, but she's jumping in with some of the commercials, and there's a couple songs she jumps in on. So,
did you have any hard things for the Foley table? I know some of the sounds that we had to make for the Goblins and the Gravedigger were sometimes problematic. Do you have any sounds that were particularly hard to figure out?
Nothing really hard to figure out. There was a couple things that we didn't know what we wanted. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's some like transitional pieces where where each ghost takes Scrooge to different places in time, and how to get between those sound-wise is tough. So right now we're playing with rain sticks and wind chimes, and we still haven't settled on it. But most of what we needed is just stuff from the shop. And Parker's been running back and forth from the shop for 2 days. You know, like, we need coins, so we've got a bag full of washers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We need coal scuttles, so we got a bag full of rocks and a metal spoon. Mm-hmm. This kind of stuff. I mean, it's all real simple to do, but it's just trying to figure out what we want was the biggest problem, really.
Right, right. Because we found, even when we were editing the radio show, that we would each listen to it a little bit, and then we'd be like, wait, that doesn't sound like somebody walking across the floor. It sounds like somebody walking across a different kind of floor, not a wooden floor.
Right.
You know, there's all these little subtle things about sounds that can sound different to different people.
Right, and yeah, and especially like walking across the floor.
Right.
How far is it? Is it two steps, or is it...
And how does somebody actually walk?
Yeah, you know, and we've like only have two pairs of shoes up there. So.
Sure, right, exactly.
How do you...
And there's only so much. So has she had fun doing the Foley table?
Yeah, she's been quite amazing.
That's great.
Gabby has. And the only thing that has eluded us, I think, is wind.
Yeah, we have a wind machine, if you want
to... We have four people who are dedicated their lives to creating wind on a microphone, and they're literally, okay, we need wind, and they, oh, yeah! And they all run up real excited.
Okay, okay.
And they are blowing like fiends at the microphone. And it sounds marvelous. And I think, had I had the wind machine, I would be missing this because...
Because this is fun. It's fun to see them do...
When I watch it, when I open my eyes to actually watch it, it's fun because it's akin to watching circus. And you get to watch these people do almost everything they're good at in one spot. Mm-hmm. They get to run around, they're playing with stuff and making Foley and... musicians and sound effects and crazy, crazy voices and characters, and it's only 10 people.
Yeah.
And it's this big, full story they're telling, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, well,
that's the exciting part for me.
The way that you're describing it makes me really want to watch it and not listen to it so much,
And this is the tension that I had with It's a Wonderful Life, is that I so enjoyed the putting on of the show that I had the sense like I missed a good radio show. And so then I had to come back again.
Right.
And turn my back to this. I just looked at the back, and then it was a whole different show. Because mm-hmm. when I was watching the Foley table the first time, I was like, he doesn't really need high-heeled shoes to go through this stuff just because the woman's walking now. But then when I wasn't watching him do it, I was like, I can tell that's a different shoe. That's genius. Mm-hmm. So it really is.
Are you going to broadcast it on the radio here, or?
We are recording it for the radio, and the radio station is going to take that. They might take a little bit of an edit on it, but they have plans to broadcast it, I don't want to say daily, but quite a bit between now and January.
Oh, nice. So you do need to pay attention.
We do. We're paying. Right. I'm actually paying more attention to the audio of
it
than I am the visual of it.
Right.
Because quite frankly, these guys having fun takes care of the visual.
Right.
When can somebody go out and see Christmas Carol here at Parkland?
We open Friday night, 7:30 is the doors open. And, actually, doors open at 7. We start at 7:30, and we have Friday night. Saturday, we're doing two shows, one at 3 in the afternoon, one at 7:30 p.m. And Sunday, the last matinee at 3 in the afternoon, all right here.
And where can people get tickets?
The best way to get tickets is to actually call. Because of the Actors Studio and other things, we're getting a new ticketing system.
Yeah, I saw that.
Next semester. So we're in the final stages of transition. Tickets, please call the box office, Parkland box office, 217-351-2528. That's the best place to get tickets, and they will reserve them there.
Okay. And people can buy them at the door?
I suspect so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they're just taking reservations on the phone, but you'll actually pay for them here at the door.
Okay.
And is this a one act?
It'll be no intermission, one act, but we do break it up with six commercials from the 1950s.
So you you didn't create original commercials, you actually found old commercials that you're recreating?
Yeah, I scoured the internet for products that no longer exist. And because the whole thing is kind of a nostalgia feel, classic 40s radio, classic 30s radio, everybody's going to dress kind of, the girls are all going to go 1950s hairstyles and stuff like that. So the commercials, we thought, will pull from that nostalgia feel. So we have commercials from Brill Cream and what are some of the other ones? What's the chewing gum you guys do?
The Beech Nut Gum.
Beech Nut Gum.
Yes.
Do you have that memorized, Parker? Can you give us a taste?
Oh, that's one of my favorite voices you do.
Yeah, I get to do like the Smee impression for it. But there's not much like context for any of my lines.
I will edit it out if it's terrible.
All right. Oh, well, yeah, it's Sean
here,
and I. Like,
well, here, I got it right here.
Let's do this.
Excellent.
Hang on,
yeah.
All right.
There you go.
Hey, Captain, we can't set sail without an order from you.
I'm not taking while this flavor lasts.
Oh, what are you chewing?
Beech nut gum.
We're gonna be here a while.
And then we're off to the next commercial.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that simple.
That's cute.
Physically manipulating your face into a distortion.
Yeah, I saw that on a...
Now, Rachel Hamandowski didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
So I think she...
what gave you the idea to do that?
I saw that on a documentary about voice acting.
Oh, I know. Yeah. It's called, I know that voice. Mm-hmm, yeah, I know that.
That's the one. And
did you see it for a class or just...
Yeah. I saw it in like several classes in like, I think both in performance of literature and in voice and diction. We went over it. But yeah, I saw that they were talking about these different voices, and somehow the Smee voice came up, and they were talking about how to get that bubbly effect, they would just kind of pinch the side of the cheek and like talk like this a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of where I got that idea, and that's kind of why I jumped on that commercial in particular, because I was like, I know how to do that. I know how to make that sound like Smee.
Nice.
People will like that.
Well, the theater education paying off.
Yeah.
Exactly. You actually get to use
And
it.
I did want to touch on that a little bit, Parker, because you are in the theater program mm-hmm. here at Parkland, and why don't you tell us a little bit about what the program entails?
Depending on which one you take, you're going to get a little bit of different classes. I'm in the performance track, so I get a lot of the acting classes, acting one, acting two. But here at Parkland, we have a lot of focus on tech anyway, like just in general, even for the performance majors,
right.
Which is something I quite like because I think every actor should at least do something in tech just to kind of see how it works and get a better appreciation for it at the very least.
So have you been part of building a lot of sets?
Yes, yes. It helps that I work here as well in the scene shop. But for different hours for our practicum classes and stuff like that, we have a lot of students come in and build the different sets for the shows. There wasn't a lot of construction required for Christmas Carol, other than I think the door and the window that we use in the Foley table.
Yeah, I was impressed with that because you have a full door and a full window for your Foley table.
Yes, I think we're going to repurpose that for some of the acting classes as well.
Did you just grab a door?
Yep, we have just a basement and there's just a little rack that's just full of doors.
Oh, nice.
And we just grabbed one of those, put it on.
And put a frame.
Put a frame on it, basically. And we just built that window. That's just like a window frame and slides and makes a nice window sound that we can use on air and stuff like that.
Nice.
But yeah, so the we do a lot of tech stuff. If you don't get cast in the shows, typically we'll be working one of the shows, either as a board operator or backstage. So it's really a really rounded experience here at Parkland, I think.
And is it your ambition to go on then and do more theater educationally after Parkland?
For me, it's a bit up in the air.
But you're going to stay in the theater arts?
Oh, yes, okay. Yes, yes.
Yes, well, I'm glad. And you have a couple big roles coming up that you just got cast for. So congratulations
on
that.
You
get to be a dancing man in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're also cast in How I Learned to Drive.
Yes, yes. As I think what the director, Jalen, described as Train Man and The Voice.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
You're getting typecast.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, your voice is definitely gotten down there into like the Rodney Woodworth / Lincoln Macula kind of range. So that's exciting. And it was interesting to hear how this Actor Studio series was formed so that the Parkland students could get more opportunities amidst the community. But with the way that the community shows have been cast lately, when you were running down those names, I think we should have some community shows where Parkland students are banned because they're too damn good, and they're taking all the roles from us community members.
Well, so that's the goal.
Right. That's true. That's true. If you're taking the classes and you're putting in the time, you deserve a chance to shine. That's absolutely right.
And you can always take a class here, right? I mean, you don't have to be a full-time student to take an acting class.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We should take an acting class.
Oh, it's just more insults telling me I need work.
Oh, wait. No, that doesn't mean there's never
no,
a time
you
when
said
you
should.
You
okay.
should take an acting
yes.
class.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
You know, Eric, you really want to.
Right, exactly.
Here's tip number 8 I'm going to give you since you didn't get any roles.
Oh, just take it the wrong way. No, I'm just saying everybody should always be learning,
I mean,
there's never a time. I would hope that all actors are constantly trying to evolve and better themselves, and that doesn't mean that after 2 years or 4 years you know everything about acting.
You're right.
So, you know, that's all I meant by that. So.
I know.
Yeah.
I took it in the right way.
Okay.
And it is, what is one of the things I like about Parkland when I get that, because most of the time when I get catalogs in the mail, I'm just like, I can't believe this still exists. But the Parkland one I do like the idea of there being continuing education for the community.
Right.
And I often think about things like that. And maybe you're right. Maybe that would be a great experience.
I'm sure it would. Like, there's a lot of great teachers here. I know Parker's told me about a lot of his classes.
And yeah.
He's learned a lot here. And we're season ticket holders here, whether Parker's here or not, because the productions here are amazing. So
Thank you.
It's really impressive. So if you could tell us again, the website people need to go to.
I think it's a phone number they need to call is the best way to
call.
Do it.
Yeah, unfortunately, this one's not on the website, so the phone number to call for the box office, 217-351-2528. And they will take all your information and make the reservations for you. And again, Friday night's opening night.
Okay, so check See You at the Show Facebook page and seeyouattheshow.com. If you didn't have a chance to write that number down, for more information about how you can get tickets to Christmas Carol here at Parkland this Friday and Saturday.
And Sunday?
And Sunday.
And Sunday afternoon. Great. Two shows on Saturday. Well, good luck, Mike, and thanks for joining us on See You at the Show.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
It's always good to talk to you, Parker.
Thank you.